If you have your Bibles, I want to share something to you today out of the Word of the Lord. We have pillows that were given to all the visiting moms today. You can get out in the lobby. Why are you giving away pillows? Because I want to talk about rest. I want to talk about sleep. And I literally prayed over all of those pillows. I want the mothers in this church to experience sleep and rest. How many moms need sleep? Raise your hand. Yeah. How many moms need rest? Yeah. The Bible says he giveth to his beloved sleep. This is an important thing. How many of you know sleep is so rare that when you do it, you're shocked? You wake up and you tell everybody, I slept. No, I'm serious. I really slept. Because it's like a phenomenon took place. Most of us just either drug ourselves to sleep or we're on our phone at night until it falls and hits us in the face. And this is the Lord saying, go to sleep. And I want every mother to experience the rest that only comes from being with Jesus. Some of your children have never spent a day with their mother who wasn't tired. Some of you, your children do not know what it's like to be with you when you're rested and you don't have any fear. You're not the same person when you're afraid. None of us are. You're not the same person when you're tired. We're short, we're snappy, we're not like Jesus. Some of you want to be like Jesus. That's our children's destiny. Our children's destiny is not just to make a bunch of money. It's not just to have a bunch of degrees or be famous on TikTok or Instagram or YouTube. It's not to have a bunch of companies. All these things can be wonderful. It's not their destiny. Their destiny is Romans 8:29. For those the Lord foreknew, he also predestined that they would become like Jesus. One of the greatest compliments anyone can ever give you is to tell you you are like Jesus. How many of you want to be like Jesus? Three of you. How many of you want to be like Jesus? Well, in order to be like Jesus, you got to spend time with Jesus. Time in prayer. Time buying the gold that's been refined in the fire, the Bible says. That we may be loving to our families and our children. That we can teach our children how to apologize. How to humble themselves because they've seen mom and dad be humble. How do you apologize? You want to know what you sound like apologizing? Ask your children to apologize. Sorry. Sorry, so sorry. Where'd they learn that from? I'm sorry is an incomplete sentence. What are you sorry for? And actually repent. You can't go to your little sister and say, you're the most annoying little sister in the world. I can't stand you. Hey, no. I'm sorry. You will not be Satan's evangelist in our home. You will not be filled with hate because hate is how you make Satan your pastor. You're going to be filled with love in our home. You're not going to be an apostle of Satan sowing discord in our family. This is not of God. Can I get a big amen about that? So now you need to repent to your sister, which means change, because the only acceptable form of apology is change. And now you need to redeem it with a godly prophecy. I'm sorry for saying you're the most annoying little sister in the world. You're actually not. You're actually the greatest little sister in the world. And you'll probably be a multimillionaire and go all over the world and bless orphans and heal people with your gift of compassion. And I bless you in Jesus' name. Praise God. That's how you apologize. How many of you would love your children to apologize to each other like that? They will never do that if they don't see it. Requires humility. You know why a lot of times our children are not coachable? Because they've never seen somebody be coachable. One of the greatest gifts you could ever give your spouse is permission to correct you. Not belittle you, but correct you. To go to your spouse in front of your children and say, is there anything you see in my life that's not like Jesus? Actually, yeah, this and this. Praise God, I'm glad you brought that up. I'm going to go to the Lord all week this morning in prayer and ask him to deal with that part of my heart. And your children see that. How many of you would love your children to come to you and say, Mom, Dad, is there any part of my life that you see that's not like Jesus? And then when you tell them, they go, praise God, I'm going to pray about that in my time with the Lord in the morning. Some of you would have to pick yourself up off the ground. But how many of you want that for your home? If I walk in the house and go, I've had a bad day, just leave me alone. Hey guys, Mom's had a bad day, just leave her alone. Then when they're teenagers, I've had a bad day, leave me alone. But if I walk in the house and go, I've had a day from hell today, I need my whole family to pray for me. I need my wife, my children to pray for me. Guys, would you pray for me? Guys, Mom's had an awful day today, let's come and pray for her. Then when they're teenagers, Mom, Dad, I've had a bad day, would you pray for me? Children are terrible at doing what you ask them to do. But they're amazing at doing what they see you do. They will do what they see you do without you even asking. So what are we going to do as parents? We can't afford to be absent. We've got to clock in. We've got to spend time with Jesus. We've got to turn our family's heart and affection towards the Lord 30 minutes before we go to bed, 60 minutes before we go to bed. Why, I need to watch my Netflix. I'm sorry, you're raising a future mom. I'm sorry, you're raising a future dad. Well, how am I going to be on social media for 7 hours? I'm sorry, you're raising a child. It's quiet. I knew we shouldn't have come today. This is the price of parenting. The price of parenting is not working really hard just so you can buy them things. The greatest gift you can give your family is a healthy you. And if you would let the Lord heal you, your children won't have to be healed from having you as a parent. Time does not heal. Jesus heals. Everybody say, Lord, heal me, that I may be healed for my family. This is an important thing. That we can be healed to be who God has called us to be. Come on, can I get a big amen about that? Mother's Day is not necessarily a biblical holiday, or, you know, some people call it a historical holiday, but regardless, it's a day that should be celebrated every day in the life of a believer, because the Bible tells us to honor our mothers and fathers, that our days may be long upon the earth. How many of you want to live really long? Yeah, honor your parents. Do more than that smoothie you're drinking with it. Come on, smile. And some people, every time I talk about honoring parents, there's always somebody who says, well, I don't know, my mom, you know, or this wasn't, they begin to think about some imperfections in their parent. But I think that's part of the lesson, a part of the lessons in the imperfection, because until you learn how to honor somebody that's not perfect, you'll never be able to honor yourself. And to be a mother is a very important thing. It's a very big job for which there is no retirement, no days off. And there's so many wonderful things that my mother and grandmother placed inside of me that sometimes you don't even really realize or fully awaken in you till you're in your 40s or 50s. How many of you know there's some things about your parents you don't appreciate until you have to try to duplicate it? And you're like, well, I know God, and I'm 45. Man, how do I make sure my kids know God? And you realize Netflix is not going to do it. And iPads are not going to do it. And just giving them things to watch so that you can be absent is not going to raise children. Stay-at-home parents don't produce church-going children. Well, we're not going to church day, we're having a family day. Is it really family day, or is Dad watching the news, Mom's on her iPad, and kids are on their devices? You might have more family time riding to church as a family, worshiping as a family, hearing the word of God as a family, talking about what God spoke to you as a family, going out to lunch afterwards as a family, For most of us, church time is the only family time we have all week. We need more family time. The Mayo Clinic says the average family spends 120 seconds together a day. 120 seconds. I'm not talking about under the same roof. I'm talking about talking, engaging. We're all on, like, engaging each other. We have to do better than 2 minutes. Come on, somebody. Can I get an amen about that? We have to do better. To pray with our family, to talk to our family, to teach our children to prophesy over each other, it cuts down on sibling rivalry. And mothers are the glue in homes. They're sticky. They keep a home together. They explain the kids to the father. You know your father didn't mean that. You need to calm down. They explain it. Then she explains the father to the children. You know your daddy loves you. Mothers are the glue. They hold families together. And to all mothers at all our campuses and watching online, whether you are married or single, if you made the decision to keep the baby God gave you, we salute you today. Come on, can somebody say amen? Let me give you just a couple verses. Would you go with me to the book of Job, chapter 33? Verse 15 says, in a dream, everybody say in a dream, in a vision of the night when men slept, when deep sleep falls upon men, when slumbering on their beds. Where's my glasses? You know, people looking for their glasses look like you're looking for a cigarette lighter. You ever notice that? Here they are. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be old. It's not intentional. Just in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men while slumbering on their beds, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instructions while they slept. Do you know God's not going to waste one third of your life? While you sleep, God wants to speak to you. How many people believe that? Do you know only like two people in this Bible God spoke to audibly? Everybody else God spoke to, he spoke to in a vision or a dream. That God's first language is not English, or if you're Hispanic like my wife, it's not Spanish. God's first language is visions and dreams. And you know how most Western parents parent? Hey, mom and dad are going to work a whole lot so you can be what you want. Be whatever you want to be. Be whatever you want. But we don't go to our Father and say, Lord, let me be who I want. We go to our Father and say, God, I want to be who you want me to be. God, I want to do what you want me to. How many of you want to do what God wants you to do? How many of you want to be who God wants you to be? But then we go to our kids and say, be whatever you want. Talk to that guidance counselor that didn't raise you. Our children need parents who will get in the presence of Jesus and say, God, show me my child in a dream. How did Mary and Joseph know the will of God for Jesus? A vision and a dream. How did Samson's parents know the will of God for Samson? A vision and a dream. How are you going to know the will of God for your child? How can you raise a child in the way they should go if you don't know which way they should go? God, show me my child at 15. Show me my child at 20. Show me their spouse. How many of you pray for your child's spouse? One of you. You need to pray for your child's spouse. Can I get an amen about that? Ask God to give you direction. Prophesy over your children. I went to a Starbucks not too long ago, and I was in the drive-thru, and there was a girl, and she had this real dark makeup on, real dark clothing, and she just looked like depressed. And I looked at her name tag, and it said Judas. And I thought to myself, no one names their diamond daughter Judas. And I said, Satan prophesied over her before the church. People, let your children pick their gender. I don't trust my kids to pick their clothes. How old are you? I'm 4. Did you brush your teeth today? No, I forgot. You are 13, 15 years old. Are you? I don't trust them to pick their food or their clothes out. I'm going to let you pick your gender? Are you out of your mind? God does not make mistakes when he made you. Everything about you is perfect. You are fearfully and marvelously made. Can somebody say amen about that? These are our kids' books. My wife and I just came out with, you wouldn't believe the hate we got on these, but we did them anyway. For all the girls, God made me a girl. Come on, can somebody say amen about that? And for all the boys, God made us boys. We're going to give them to the kids that get dedicated today. But God doesn't make mistakes when he made you. When you go to sleep, parents, listen to me, tomorrow starts tonight. Do you know when you read Genesis 1, it says in the evening and the morning was the first day? And the evening and the morning was the second. It doesn't say morning and evening, it says evening and morning. Why? Because tomorrow begins tonight. Do you know when it turns 12:01, it'll be tomorrow even though it's night outside? It's dark outside? What are you saying, Pastor Jonathan? I'm saying God owns the night. We serve a God that owns the night. And so many of us go to bed with anxiety and fear and temptation and all these kind of things. We need to turn our heart and affections towards God. Do you know that Solomon had a conversation with God? And God said, Solomon, I love you, son. I'll give you anything. What do you want? He said, God, give me wisdom. How many of you want wisdom? He said, God, give me wisdom. And God said, because you asked for wisdom and not money and riches and fame, I'll give you all of it. And the whole conversation happened in a dream. A dream. Do you know you could go to bed tonight, have a conversation with God in a dream, and when you woke up, it had happened? If that could happen to you, would it change the way you went to bed? When you realize most of the people God ever spoke to in the Bible, he spoke to in a dream, and we spend our nights and our children's nights just letting them pass out on their phones. One third of their life is going to be sleeping. These are our babies getting ready for baby dedication. One third of their life is going to be spent sleeping. And we're going to let them just pass out watching God knows what. Everybody say you have to sow into your dreams. Yeah. If you watch horror films get in your dreams. If you watch pornography will get in your dreams. But if you turn your family's affection towards the presence of God gets in their dreams. How many of you want the presence of God in your family's dreams? How many of you want all of your children to see Jesus? Do you know why a lot of people question the existence of the Lord? Is because they've never seen Jesus. My daughter Victoria, she's seen the Lord twice. And every time she's seen him, she weeps uncontrollably. The second time the Lord came to her and told her things to tell her siblings. Do you know how many people in this room have never received a prophetic word over their life from their sibling? Teach your children to prophesy over each other. It cuts down on sibling rivalry. Teach them to do that. Prophesy. Speak blessing over each other. How many of you want to speak blessings over your siblings? How many parents want your children to bless each other? Wow. Wouldn't it break your heart to see your children grow up and have nothing to do with each other? Wouldn't that break the heart, your heart as a parent? Don't you think it breaks the heart of God? Invest this into them. I was with Dr. Phil and Joel Osteen last week, and Dr. Phil, he was being interviewed by Joel, and he grabbed his phone and he said, nothing great in your life will ever happen to you while you're looking at a screen. Nothing. Nothing great in your life is going to happen to you while you're looking at a screen. The people that love you the most are in front of you. Do you know the average TikTok video, the average viewed video on a YouTube is 15 seconds. And you know, people, the average, if you Google right now, the average time a teenager spends on their phone is 8.5 hours a day. 8.5 hours a day. Google it. I'm not making it up. Do you know what you're training your brain to do at 12 and 13 and 8 and 15? You are training your brain to become chronically distracted. It's different. It's not like reading a book. When you read a book, you lock in for an hour, 2 hours. We can't afford to just be absent. I know what it's like, guys. I know what it's like to just be like, oh, I just want a moment of peace. And sometimes you feel like you're just a failure as a parent. Because my wife and I, we were walking down the store the other day and Augustine ran in front of some lady with a shopping cart. He almost got hit. And my wife goes, I'm sorry. You should see us. When we go out with her, all we do is apologize. Because when your children make mistakes, you own it. She didn't say, he's sorry. She said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And the bigger they get, the more mistakes they make. And you start to feel like you're a bad parent. But if kids making mistakes meant you were a bad parent, that would mean God's a bad parent. Because I'm one of his kids. I made a lot of mistakes. Anybody else one of his kids? He made a lot of mistakes. So maybe we need to let go of the gravity of grace and let it come to our own heart. Let it go to our mother. Let it go to our grandmother. How many people can? We're good at letting grace go down, but how many know we need to let grace go up sometimes? Let it come to our own heart. That he gives us visions and dreams. And I believe the Lord is trying to reduce us down to a people that live for his voice. You know, I thought it was interesting. I read that the Quakers actually coined the statement, let's sleep on it. How many people ever heard the term, let's sleep on it? Because they believed if they had a heart thing or something they didn't quite know what to do, that if they slept on it, that God would speak to them and give them direction. I want to encourage you as moms to let Jesus become your dream. You'll never know what true sleep is until your dream is Jesus. When we turn our heart and affections to the Lord and say, God, I need you to speak to me about my children or my family. So I don't have to parent based on feelings, but I can parent based on sight. This is what brings peace to your heart. The peace of God that passeth all understanding. We'll live in fear and anxiety. You cannot win a battle with someone who came to the battle to die. You can only stress out and make anxious somebody who's holding on to their life. So we have to learn to let go. One of the questions my wife and I get asked all the time is, how do you balance? How do you balance 8 kids and running business and church and preaching and traveling? How do you do that? The answer is we don't. We surrender. We found the more time our family spends with Jesus, the better our family is. The more everyone in our family is like Jesus, the better our family is. Balance is you trying to hold on to it. As soon as you balance, you're going to try and grab the reins. And how many people know you don't have to parent very long before you realize you don't know how to parent? Can I get an amen about that? Mike Tyson says everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face. How many of you had life or parenting punch you in the face and mess up your plans? And so I came today to encourage every mother to allow the Lord to speak to you when you sleep. You wake up in the middle of the night, just start praying in the Holy Ghost. Start thanking God. God, thank you for my family. Thank you that all my children are healed. Thank you that they all walk in divine health. Come on, can I get an amen? That you're providing for us. For so many people, the night is like torture. They stay up because they don't want to go to bed, because when they go to bed, their mind races of all these negative things. And hear me, the only thing stronger than a thought is a word. Your mind will win as long as you stay silent. But if you start speaking, Satan couldn't even kill Jesus on the cross till he shut up, because his words alone were such life. The more anxious and fearful you become, the more quiet you become. When fear really grips you, you say nothing. Drowning victims make no noise. You ever watch a video of see somebody drowning? You think, well, why didn't they scream for help? You can't scream. When you're drowning, you say nothing. This is why we have to learn to speak. Let the redeemed of the Lord say. Jesus said, when you pray, say. Let the weak say, I'm strong. Let the poor say, I'm rich. Speak over your children. Speak over your marriage. Speak over yourself. As for me and my house, we will what? Serve the Lord. I'll never forget a faith class when I went to visit this lady in the hospital, and she had a stroke. And this whole part of her, the whole left side of her body was paralyzed. And when I walked in, she had taken she had worship music going on. And she had taken her one arm that worked, and she was grabbing her arm that didn't work, and she was lifting it to the Lord. And she was saying, you will worship Jesus. You will praise Jesus. What do? You've got to put your faith in action. You've got to believe. Faith is what? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Even though I don't see it, I'm believing for it. You've got to prophesy that over your family and over your children. And when you go to bed at night, realize I'm starting tomorrow. We'd have better mornings if we had better nights. Well, I spent 15 minutes with Jesus. I still woke up anxious. Great, spend 30. You think nothing to watch 2-3 hours of a TV show. Come on, can I get an amen about it? I am challenging you. That's the point. To turn our affections towards God. And all of you who are like news lovers, yeah, you, okay? Which they should just call the news, what's wrong? Welcome to 6 o'clock, what's wrong? Here's what's wrong. I'm not saying that the news is evil. I'm not saying you shouldn't watch it. I think as Christians, we need to know things that are happening in the world so we can pray. But what I am saying is, if that thing makes you anxious, angry, mad, depressed, and then you're going to bed, turn your heart towards God. If you need to know the news, watch the noon news so you have time to get your heart right before you go to sleep. Forgive. The Bible says, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Everybody say, forgive. So God set an alarm clock for forgiveness. It's the sun. And in the winter, you got to forgive by 4:30 in Minnesota. You have to about 9 o'clock in the summer. I'm like, I ain't forgive you yet. It's still daylight. Come on, smile. I'm being funny. Trying to be funny. But let's forgive. Let's not let the sun go down on our wrath. Be honest with your spouse. Just be honest. Say, I need you. I need you to pray for me. There's things that aren't perfect in my life, things that are going wrong. Point out things in my life that are not like the Lord. Tell your children when they're like Jesus that we can go to bed and wake up refreshed and in peace. How many of you want to wake up in peace? James 3:16, put this verse on the screen for me. This is for all the families in the room. It says, anytime there is envy and strife in a home, every evil spirit is present. You want all hell to break loose in your home? Let mom and dad start fighting. You got to bring peace. Anytime mom and dad start having chaos, you open a door to the demonic. James 3:16. So what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying let's shut the door on it. Let's have peace in our home. Come on, can somebody say amen? Let's have peace. Everybody say, let's have peace. If we win at night, we win in the day. I'm going to say it again. If we win at night, we win in the day. If we win at night, we win in the day. There's some things in rest. Here's the last thing I want to say on rest. Listen to me. There's some things on rest that God wants to give you out of a heart of rest as opposed to toil. Some of you are working to all the things that you want to do and be in life, you're working for them. But there are some things that God wants to give you, not because you're a soldier, but because you're a son. There's some things that God wants you to fight for, but there are some things that are just your inheritance. And you don't know the difference. You think you'll never get anything from God unless you fight for it. There's some things that God wants to give you out of rest, out of peace. How many people would like to receive some things from God out of peace, out of rest, and just trusting God? My daughter Liliana, she has access to everything I got. Everything. And she didn't earn none of it. None of it. You just seen this look she gave me. She came out today in that dress. I was sitting in the recliner, and she came and she walked past me. It's her inheritance. She sleeps because she knows she's not an orphan. Some of you have an orphan spirit. Then you don't think you have a father that provides for you. And everything that you feel like God will ever give you, you have to snatch. As opposed to just trusting God and saying, God, I know you're going to give that to me because I'm your son. I'm your daughter. The Bible says, if earthly fathers know to give good gifts to their children, how much more does our Heavenly Father know to give good gifts to those that love Him? Come on, can I get an amen about that? There's not a parent in here that doesn't want to bless their child. So what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying go to sleep. And let God give you things out of rest. Do you know that a lot of the things that God gave me, when the things that God brought into my life, He brought into it through a dream or a vision. And when God speaks to you in a dream and a vision, there's humility. The approach, I can always tell when God spoke to somebody in a dream, because they come to you with like, you know, God showed this to me, and you know, I can't believe that He would want to do that. And Pastor, would you pray about this? And I don't even know. And I want to make sure I'm in the will of God for it. And then there's people who try to do things out of work and toil. They got ideas. They got... And they're striving, they're pushing. When God speaks to you in a dream or a vision, there's humility that comes with it. I don't people want that in their life. Amen. Pray that God will start to come to you in dreams. Okay, I got 1/3 of my life. Now, all of you know, for the most part, you know, God's not talking to you audibly. Most of the people, God, this is God. God says to most men, do I speak to in visions and dreams? But to my servant Moses, do I speak to face to face? So he already told us, most people I speak to in visions and dreams. What were most people? God's going to speak to us in visions and dreams. So if your time with God, your time to hear from God is going to be in your sleep, why aren't you protecting it? Why are you letting the enemy rob you of it? And having a confidence that comes from God, God is speaking to me while I sleep. And sometimes God spoke to me, brought peace into my heart, and there was a dream, and I don't always remember it. And I trust that He still gave it to me while I slept, because it ministered to my heart. I just woke up with peace. Sometimes I would have a dream, and I wouldn't always remember it, but I had peace. Could God give you a dream, you not remember it, and you'd be okay with it? What? I have to understand everything. You need to, if you're going to walk with God, you have to learn to be okay with wonder. Because if you have to know everything, you're going to make a God in your image. You're not going to understand everything with God. You're not always going to be able to make sense of it. You're just going to have to go, I just trust you. Come on, can I get an amen about that? How many people are okay with the wonder of God? And you go, maybe it's a question for heaven. I don't know. But I trust him. What do I have? I have peace. I'm praying that God will give every mother rest and peace and sleep as you turn your affections towards Jesus. Don't let that phone is robbing you of the greatest sleep. Please do not take sleep pills and then look at your phone. That's like taking... I can't say everything I'm thinking of. Let me just... He giveth to his beloved sleep. So turn your affection towards God. Prepare your heart. Like you prepared for church this morning, prepare your heart for God to speak to you. And say, okay, God's going to talk to me. Have a notepad on the side of your bed. If God speaks to you, you wake up, you write it down. Have your Bible there. Have worship music going on in your home. Come on, can I get an amen about it? Don't have all kinds of craziness while your kids watching before that, because kids will do that. Oh, we got to do this. Oh, we're playing that. We got to. Hey, guys, we got to turn our family's heart towards Jesus now. We're going to pivot our heart towards God. How many of you wish you'd have grown up having your whole family pray together before you went to sleep? Come on, can I get an amen about that? This is the heart of God for our families. And so let's believe God to do it. Come on, you get some out of this today. Come on, give God a big praise.
Hey, I know that this sermon blessed your heart. I hope it's been an encouragement to you to become more like Jesus. That's our heart and that's our prayer. He's the X on the treasure map. He is the topic of heaven. Everything is all about Jesus. And I want to encourage you, get up in the morning, spend time with him. Pray, seek his heart, seek his face, and see what he will do in your life. Before you go, I want to ask you to prayerfully consider being a truth partner. And like I mentioned earlier, it reminds me of Aquila and Priscilla, who would help the Apostle Paul spread the message of truth. A couple, a married couple, would just invest to spread the message of truth to so many hurting people. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. He is truth. And you can be a truth partner today by simply texting truth partner, one word, to 53555. If you haven't subscribed, subscribe to the channel. Click that little bell for notifications. But thank you for your generosity. So many of you give online, you give throughout the week, all over the nation. And I just want to say thank you so much. We're using this resource to continue to get this message of truth out to so many broken and hurting people. And we want to be a blessing to you. And so let us know how we can pray for you. You know, comment below. There's a lot of resources on my website that are available to you. But we want you to know how much we love you. Thank you for partnering with us. Thank you for being a truth partner. We'll see you back on the channel real soon.